Let's begin. Father, this morning, it's a joy for us to be able to just come and to celebrate life in your Son, to just open our arms, to embrace you leaning forwards, giving yourself to us, your incredible love in action, just flowing into our lives. And what a joy it is to receive from you this morning. You want to receive so much that you are wanting to release, to really set us free, to really help us to understand Ecclesia, to help us understand praying in the name of Jesus, just taking us into the joy of your Son's victory. And to when he asked and you said to your Son, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance, to be able to pray in the name of your Son Jesus with that word in our hearts, the same desire, the same heartbeat as your Son when he said, Father, give us a nation, give him the nation. And so we want to thank you that we can pray for our nation, we can pray for the nations, we can be one with your Son's agreement, with your Son's inheritance, and that is all the nations. And so this morning, Father, first of all, we come and just give you thanks. We come and just thank you for our nation. We want to thank you, Father, for the joy of interceding for the people of our nation, the joy of coming into your throne room and to bring the government, to bring leaders to you, Father, and come and just come to you and say, Father, we ask for godly governance. And we want to thank you that we may live in a place of peace so that your word can go out, that men and women can be saved. So we want to thank you as you teach us to pray in the name of your Son Jesus this morning. So again, Father, just be glorified in and through your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Great. Okay, guys. This morning we've been looking at for some time now, and before we start on the Zoom, sort of the discipleship kind of journey through the Lord's Prayer, I want to just, because it's all together, I want to just speak a little bit more of praying in the name of Jesus, because of it's a key of a kingdom. Of the kingdom of God, understanding to pray in the name of Jesus. Remember, Jesus holds the keys. And so when we're learning to pray in the name of Jesus, we are participating in the reality that he has the keys of death and Hades. He has the keys, you see, and to begin to pray in that realm. And so I want to just share a little bit this morning to help us to just step more and more into the joy of praying in the name of Jesus. We've been looking at that scripture in John 14. And in that John 14, we have been following the example of Jesus, because Jesus, remember, as we've been looking in the past there, and we've seen there that Jesus is ministering, the Father sent his Son Jesus. So Jesus is ministering in the name of his Father. Okay? So he's modeling us, he's showing us how to live as a child of God in the name of Jesus. As he is operating and is living his life in the name of the Father, how you and I live and operate in the name of Jesus. So when Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, whatever we do, whatever we say, we do it in the name of Jesus. And so now we are learning to enter into that. And what I'm sharing it's not intellectual, it cannot be taught. What I'm sharing can only be known. Okay. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So that we know later on in the church building there, I'm going to be starting with discipling. And one of the keys about discipleship is that you start off by believing, but you've got to move into knowing. Okay. And that's the whole heart of Jesus. What's eternal life? Eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Son Jesus Christ. Okay, and so all that we're sharing is We hear God. Remember, faith comes from hearing. So we hear God speak to us. We believe, and now we enter into the knowing of that truth. And that truth then sets us free. But it's the knowing of that truth that enables us to live in the freedom of that truth. Okay, so that's just the basic flow of what the Great Commission is all about, and when about discipleship making and so forth. But anyway, we look here in John 14, and Jesus is speaking because he's ministering, he's speaking in the name of his Father, and so he's revealing the Father. So remember, the name and the person cannot be separated. So he's in the name of the Father. Father doing his work through his Son Jesus. The Father is healing, the Father is feeding, the Father is doing whatever we see Jesus doing. That is a revelation of God the Father. Christ is the image, Christ is revealing the Father, as we see it in Hebrews chapter 1. And then he goes on, and this is what we've been looking at. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, so here again the faith, that God-given faith, being fully persuaded that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is the Savior. He is who he says he is, what the Word of God says he is. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What works has Jesus been doing? Jesus has been doing the works of the Father. So you and I now, as we believe in him, we will do the works of the Father. We will do the works of Jesus. Okay, that's the works that we're looking at. Okay, and that's very important to understand the next few sentences that Jesus says, because it's about doing the works of Jesus. What is Jesus up to? And no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. Okay, and so he goes on and he says over there, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Okay, and this is now he's going to the cross, and because of what he has done in his death and resurrection, this greater works, and one of the greater works is the reality of someone being born again by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that became a reality after the death and resurrection of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit now that comes and brings life. So that's one of the incredible realities of the greater works, and for us to become this new creation. That's a greater work, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Before his death and resurrection, that could not have happened. Now it happens. We are a new creation. This greater work is for you and I to be able to live in the reality of what it is to be this new creation in Christ Jesus, and serving the old Adamic nature, that power of sin been broken, so that now in his death and resurrection we participate in this incredible nature of God, and we can now serve God as kings and priests. And we're going to go into that a little bit later. And he goes on and he says over here, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. And that's the key again, as we've been looking, when in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, have faith in the name of Jesus. It's the faith in his name, and the faith that comes through Jesus, that has made this sick person well, this lame person, this crippled person healed. Okay, and so that was when God spoke to you and I just about really to have faith in the name of Jesus. And that is why the enemy will do anything to try and confuse us about the name of Jesus, because the moment we are still battling, is it the right name, etc., it shows that we don't have faith in the name of Jesus. And that's why prayers aren't answered, and that's why nothing happens, because there's still this doubt and unbelief concerning Jesus Christ and his name. And that, so that's just part of, again, just the way the enemy loves to work, particularly the religious spirit loves to work in that vein, to get the body of Christ to fight about the name of Jesus, and not to understand that the name of Jesus was already established before any language was created and came into being. Before creation, the name of Jesus was already established. So, you know, that is what happens. And so in verse 13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, just in this again, remember what I think the best, you know, when Jesus speaks about in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 onwards there, when he asked the disciples, who are the people saying who I am? And they say, some say John and some Elijah and so forth. And then Jesus says, who do you say? And Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on and he says there, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And Jesus, before that, he says, and I will build my ecclesia. And I think this is probably the biggest thing that's going to take place in our lives, is as we are understanding what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, we will then now begin to live in the reality of that what Jesus spoke to Peter about and the disciples, about him building his ecclesia. What is an ecclesia, and what's about the keys of the kingdom? And that, because praying in the name of Jesus is the opening, it's the authority, it's everything about who he is, and to use the keys that he has, and to be able to now to advance the kingdom of God. And so Jesus speaks, and in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 9-10, you know, that's incredible truth. Let me just share this quickly over here, because the keys of the kingdom, when Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's in the context of prayer. You see, prayer, it's an incredible gift that God has given to us to be able to. Prayer is not a discipline. Prayer is not a Christian discipline. Prayer is not a Christian duty. No, that's religion. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is an incredible gift that God has given to you and I, that we can speak with him and he can speak with us. It's about knowing. Prayer is a knowing reality. See, it's not a discipline. You know, your communication with your family is not a discipline. It's love. It's relational. And it's the same with prayer. It's love. It's relational. And so our Father has given us an amazing privilege to be able to speak to him, and he speaks to us over there. But it is a key to be able to see the will of the Father established on the earth. Okay, and that is why prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so, it is, we can rule and reign in the reality of prayer. And that's what he's taking us into. And so in Revelation chapter 5, let me just quickly read here, and notice this is the song of the Lamb, and just the Lamb of God, and the elders, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Notice the context of the next few verses. It's in the context of the Lamb of God that was slain, the throne room, the Holy of Holies, in other words, the presence of God. It's in the reality of the prayers and worship and so forth. And then they sang this new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. This for me is probably the best description of what ecclesia is all about. When Jesus says, I will build my ecclesia, this for me is the best description of it over there. The power of the blood of Christ has purchased us, has taken, redeemed us. We belong to Him. We've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. We've been brought into the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light, of His Son whom He loves. We've been purchased with His blood from every tribe, every language, every people, from every nation. And it's not He will make us. It's not future. It's past tense. And He, Jesus, He said, I will build. He has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and we will reign on earth in the context of prayer and worship. Okay, so now you understand why our Father is really, is the joy in heaven that we are learning what it means to have faith in the name of Jesus and to pray in the name of Jesus, because it brings us into the reality of living in this truth that we just read here in Revelation 5 and verse 9 and verse 10 over there. That's the call. That's the invitation. That's what the Holy Spirit, He is guiding us into all truth. And that is why I say, what I'm sharing, as you believe, we need to move into the knowing this truth. And it's a knowing of this truth that is life-giving. And that's what's happening. That's when it's established. And so when Jesus, you know, when Jesus speaks about, remember we looked at a few Sundays back when in John chapter 8, verse 31, where Jesus speaks about to the Jews who believe. Notice the starting point was faith to the Jews who believe. Okay. Those who hold to my teaching, who remain in my teaching, they will know that truth. So that truth that Jesus has given to them, as they remain in that teaching, what takes place? They begin to know the reality. So from believing, now it's knowing. And what happens when they know this truth? They live in the reality of the freedom that truth brings, because truth brings freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Truth brings life. Truth brings, it takes us out of the situation that we're in, and it brings us into the reality of being in Christ. He is the truth. So we're living in Him. We're moving in Him. We have our being in Him. Okay, there's the freedom. Okay, there's the joy. There's the salvation. All of that incredible good news of God. And so here we have now, when as we are learning now, it's for you and I, we are stepping into knowing the power of the blood of Jesus, knowing the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus, knowing His resurrection, living in the reality of having died with Him, been raised with Him, living in the reality of what it means to belong to Him, living in the reality right now, so that we know what it is to be a kingdom. A kingdom is the realm in which Christ rules. We are the ecclesia. That's why this is a best description of ecclesia. We are the people, the ecclesia, which Christ rules through our lives. Okay, we are the priests. Now we can serve our living God, and part of the priestly ministry is that of intercession. Okay, we are a kingdom. Christ rules in our lives, through our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, etc. We are the priests. So now, as priests, who do we serve? We serve our God. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ for God, so we serve our God. Okay. That's why I have to appropriate. We have died to the old man. We've been raised with Christ. We've been raised with Christ in order to live a new way, to serve our living God. Okay. So all of that teaching that God has led us in there, it's knowing that now. It's knowing that, living in that reality. And then we know the freedom that truth brings. That's what a true disciple is all about. Okay. And we will reign on earth. Okay, so in this morning, so when Jesus speaks about in John chapter 15, when Jesus speaks and He speaks about if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Then He carries on. Then you can ask the Father and He will do what you've asked Him to do. Okay, and so that is why this remaining, this is the knowing, this is the place of knowing. So I prayed that prayer in Psalm 2 verse 8, where the Father is speaking to his Son, and he says to his Son, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Now, there's a knowledge there, but now the work of the Holy Spirit is to take that truth. It is God who works in us to will and to act. Remember, we saw in Romans chapter 8 that we who are led by the Spirit, we have the desires. Our desires we have our mind set on the desires of God. Okay, and that's the joy of walking in the Holy Spirit. That's the reality of living in the name, living in the reality of being in Christ Jesus. So now we have our desires, and so what happens is that the Holy Spirit, we find there that scripture, for instance, ask of the nations, whatever it may be that the Holy Spirit has shared with you, that now becomes, it's inside of us. Our desires are in line with the desires of Christ. It's in line with the desires of the Father. The Father desired for his Son to ask for the nations. The Son asked for the nations. His blood has purchased from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. His blood has purchased. So his blood has spoken in what Jesus asked for. Okay. So his blood speaks and confirms that incredible truth of Psalm 2 verse 8. And so here we now see that, and so now as we are now having this word remaining in us, we pray in the name of Jesus. So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, this, what Jesus asked for, the nations, it's, we now start to be involved in seeing that inheritance of Jesus that the Father has given, we are now co-working with Jesus in seeing that inheritance become a reality here on earth. Okay, and that's the joy, that's the keys of praying in the name of Jesus, so that the Father is glorified in his Son. Okay, so as that's why it's not just praying stuff. Disciple is someone who believes, has heard God speak. Faith comes from hearing, has taken that word in. That word is remaining. We are that word that's remaining. We are praying in the name of Jesus because it's in him and him and us. It's the union of our desires becoming so united with his desires. We are praying in his name. This is the prayers that are answered. This is the prayers that enable us to rule. As a kingdom of priests, Christ the King now can rule through you and I as we intercede, as we pray, as we use the keys of the kingdom and what God is sharing, and we can begin to release that. We pray that, and we start to find now all of a sudden Jesus said, and he will answer. And now the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is involved in bringing about the reality of us being in agreement with him. With us being in agreement with him, with our desires being in agreement with his desires. Now we're beginning to see, wow, God, you're busy praying, you're busy answering. And we're starting to see this truth of what the ecclesia is all about. The people that have been purchased by the blood of Christ, that have come. And if you want to use it in our language, we speak about political systems and that over there in political parties. We belong to a political party called the Kingdom of God political party, okay? But we don't rule like political parties. We rule and reign in the reality of being in the kingdom. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. So in the name of Jesus, in other words, the good news, God's good news to mankind, as we saw there in Romans chapter 1, everything about the good news of God has been made known to us in his Son and through his Son Jesus. So when we are praying in the name of Jesus, we have entered into that good news of our Heavenly Father, and that good news of our Heavenly Father now begins to come a reality on earth. Okay, and so and that's why you can't just have a little statement of what it's all about, because it's just too big. And as the Holy Spirit leads, and as you start to just receive and you start to just work with what the Holy Spirit is sharing with you, praying in the name of Jesus just opens up more and more. And it's just so much more that the Holy Spirit shares about what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. That's why it's a knowing. It's a relational reality of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth, the truth that is found in Jesus. And you'll be praying from that reality all the time. And so very important scripture now that I want to share is that's the one that is found in Ephesians. And first of all, I'll just go to Ephesians 1. And now you can't see this, but in Ephesians chapter 1, praying in the name of Jesus, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Very important. Very important. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. You go back to Revelation chapter 5. This ecclesia, this blessing in the heavenly realms, to be made known on the earthly realm, to rule and to reign, this blessing that we have in Christ Jesus, this good news in Christ Jesus, to praying in the name of Jesus, to be made known on the earth as it is in heaven, as you and I, as the kingdom, the realm in which Christ rules, becomes manifested on the earth. That we as the ecclesia, as the body of Christ, the family of God, the ones purchased with the blood of Jesus, we now begin to rule and reign on earth. Okay, very important what God is sharing with us. So let's carry on in chapter 2. And this is going to set many, many free this morning. Paul is writing and he speaks about now this reality, and he says over there, but because of his great love in verse 4, for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, all in Christ. See, when you and I are praying in Christ, we're not praying from the earthly realm. Where are you and I? We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And that's the place where you and I rule and reign. One of my favorite teachers, he's passed on now, was someone that you may know, Derek Prince, an incredible scholar. He was a philosopher that got born again. And that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 about the foolishness of man, he realized how foolish philosophy was. And he then began his journey of understanding the power of the centrality of the cross of Jesus. And so his preaching demonstrated, his teaching, his life, and him and his wife Ruth demonstrated the incredible power of the cross of Jesus, so that man would not put their faith in human wisdom, in human philosophy, in other words, but in the revelation of the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus Christ to people. And he helped me understand something that I think is so necessary right now. He speaking about being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and he took it back to the tabernacle. And he said, look at the tabernacle, because there is an incredible truth for us to understand in understanding what it means to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, kingdom of priests, to be able to rule and reign on earth. And he said over there, you've got your outer courts, you know, where people get saved, there's the sacrifice, etc. Then you've got your holy place. And there you've got your, remember, you've got your incense, and you've got your the candle there, and the bread and so forth. And that's the holy place. That's you and I as a believer. We live a holy life. So in this world, we live a holy life. We in our homes, we live a holy life. So that's the incredible Christian life that is reflecting and revealing the work of Christ in and through our lives. Okay, so that's a Christian. But he says in this holy place, let's look at the natural realm, because he said over here, it's like God has given us the way to live in the natural realm. So just say in the home, in the natural realm, husband is ahead of the wife and so forth, okay? The children must obey their parents. So in the natural realm, in the church environment, there is leadership in the natural realm. Here on the earth, that's how God has ordained it. So in the church, there's ways of doing it. And in some of the debates in the church world is whether a woman can preach or not preach, whether a woman can be a pastor or not a pastor, whether a woman can be an elder or not an elder, and a deacon or not a deacon. So that's part of the debates that churches abide to, and every denomination has their way of doing that. There's a government. God has placed a government, and we as believers living as God-fearing, holy people, we obey the government, etc., etc., unless the government comes and violates the law of Christ, just like the examples of the apostles, where they rather obey Christ than the authorities. And so we've got that over there. And so in the church environment, many women are frustrated because they are saying, oh, my husband's not the head of the home. How can I? And so they bound to that holy place kind of a mindset. They bound over there. Many women are saying, like this culture, the husband and the woman must be serving the man. And many cultures that we have throughout our continent and worldwide, so many women are frustrated. Many men are confused, and they just don't know. And there's all this kind of confusion that can take place in this holy place. Now, we've been raised and seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. In other words, we are in the Holy of Holies. We are in the presence of God. Why get caught up in all the little bit of arguments in that holy place and remain bound over there? Why don't we move into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, where that realm is neither male nor female, is neither Jew nor Gentile, is neither slave nor freeman. See, that's the realm where we govern from. That's the realm which we rule and reign from. You see, let the men pastor the church. Let the men be the head of the homes, okay? Women, enter into the spiritual, the presence of God, into the most holy of holies, into the throne room of God, and rather stay there and rule and reign there, and then live your godly life in the natural realm as God instructs us in households and so forth, okay? And I'm sharing this because where God is taking us, there will be this confusion, my husband is not the head of the home. He's not spiritual leader in the home. He's not this and that. There, you love your husband. You submit to your husband, but enter into the most holy place. Enter into the presence of God, seated with Christ, and rule from there. Okay, and you will see as you rule from there, you're free from all that there, and you're able now to be able to release. Because now you can use the keys of the kingdom, and you can now release that into, as it is in heaven, let it become a reality on earth. Okay, that which is in heaven, you can now begin to release that. So it frees you from being offended. It frees us from being upset and frustrated. It frees us because We just move into through Christ, because through Christ the veil is broken and we have entered into the presence of God. Praying in the name of Jesus. Remember Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. In Christ Jesus there's no condemnation. It carries on that it's our faith in Jesus that you and I have now entered into this incredible reality of God's grace. You see, in praying in the name of Jesus, we are praying from that realm of God's grace, seated with him in the heavenly realms. And now grace and truth through Christ Jesus is being released. So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, grace and truth is being released. That can come down and become to manifest into the home, into the church, into government, into schools, into the workplace, into our communities. And so wherever God has placed you and I, whatever town he's placed you and I, the good news is we can complain about our political leaders. We can complain about who's ruling and reigning in the political arena. We can moan about our government. But we can get stuck there, or we can begin to enter into the Holy of Holies, seated with Christ. Get what Christ has done for a nation and start to rule and reign from that place and begin to bring about true change into a nation. Okay, that's what it means. That's one of the aspects of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. You see, you're ruling and reigning against the forces of evil, the demonic realm that has taken people captive. We're dealing with those things. As I conclude, I will just share with you. I was praying for the nation, I can't remember, a few days back. And as I'm praying in the name of Jesus, I suddenly entered into this realm of incredible thick darkness. But in this darkness, it was mixed, it was black and red. And it was very thick and intense. And as I'm looking at this, I felt fear starting to enter into my heart, because I could sense the depth of evil. I could sense the intensity of evil and wickedness and the hatred and just evil, evil, evil. You know, words cannot describe the intensity of evil. So fear started to grip my heart, and immediately Jesus was standing next to me there, and he was holding my hand, and I became like a little child. You know, when a child is a bit scared, and then the parent holds the child's hand, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. And what was taking place was that I saw there that as we're praying in the name of Jesus, what's taking place in the heavenly realms? You see, the red in the sea was the blood of Christ, who has redeemed, who has purchased. And that the darkness, and so in it was the forces of evil, and there was this incredible battle taking place in the heavenly realms. And in this battle, now and again, you could see like the flashes and all that kind of stuff, but a massive battle. However, the blood won. It has won already, okay? And all of a sudden, I saw that darkness disappearing, because in Christ, praying in the name of Jesus, there is the victory. We rule and reign, okay, here on earth. And so we're praying in the name of Jesus, and suddenly that disappeared. And over South Africa, this incredible glory of God, this light, it was beautiful over our nation over there. And that's our call as the ecclesia, as the called out ones. You and I purchased by the blood of Jesus. Don't try and fight and setting people free from the place of being a good Christian. Don't try and fight over there. You've got to be seated with Christ, because that's our place in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, seated with him, co-enthroned, if you want to call it, with him, seated with him over there, So now we can serve our God. How do we serve our God? Father, Jesus taught us, Father, your kingdom come, hallowed be your name. You see, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And now you and I, as the ecclesia, the realm in which Christ rules and the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I now have a heart, a focus. So where you are in your town, don't be focused on yourself anymore. Guys, there's a deeper call. Begin to come out of the holy place. Enter into the most holy through the blood of Christ, through the veil. His body was the veil. You and I are seated with him there. Now begin to intercede for your family, intercede for your communities, intercede now from that place. In the name of Jesus, let the Spirit take you into all truth concerning Christ, what he has done. And as that word abides in you, intercede, release that word, pray whatever, how the Holy Spirit leads, and you will start to see the kingdom of God advancing. Okay, we cannot sit back and say, well, elections are now in another 2 years and that. No. We rule and reign now. He's already made us a kingdom of priests to rule and to reign on earth. It's not he's going to do it. He's already done it. We've got to step into that by faith. And now we live in that over there. So as we have communion this morning, just whatever the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about, enjoy the time and just really rule and reign. Come seated with him in the heavenly realms and ask him to teach you what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. I'm learning every day. I'm learning more and more. It's a never-ending, unending, eternal discovery. and that knowing that truth. So when God spoke and he said the answer for our nation is the centrality of the cross, what Christ has done in his death and resurrection, I never knew what I know today. And I'm still learning more and more. I'm totally persuaded, that there is nothing. As we are seated with him and we reign from that place, the answer for South Africa, is his son Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. Been raised with him. That's the answer. Let's start to rule in the reign. Okay? Please live your godly life. We live our godly life as Christians. Be the salt, be the flavor, be the light. Okay? But as we live our godly lives, we are seated with him and we start to rule and reign from that place. Amen. So as we have communion, I want to just play a song for us over here. And that's, Father, first of all, thank you for the joy of the ecclesia, that through your son, there's this incredible new creation man in Christ Jesus. You've given this earth the blessing of your children. Thank you. The depth of your love, not only saving us, but now you have placed your church all over the nations to be able to intercede, to rule and to reign, even in the closets and the quiet places, there in your presence in the realm of the Spirit. And I'm asking, Father, that now by your Holy Spirit you will enable us to break through, to be able to really abide in the reality of being in the realm of the heavenlies, the realm of the Spirit, and learn how to rule, how to govern in the name of your Son from there. We want to thank you that you were teaching us what the keys of the kingdom, what it means to loose and bind. We want to thank you as you enable us to understand where we come in agreement with one another. Whatever we ask will be given, so that again, Father, you are glorified. Jesus, you are glorified through us as your family, as your children, as your disciples. So thank you for your blood that has redeemed us, Jesus. And I ask, as we participate in the communion by your Spirit, open up the power of your blood, what it means to have purchased, what it means to have redeemed. open up that depth of that word redemption in a very practical way in our lives, and to know how you have set us free. And I thank you as we partake with the communion this morning, the chains will be broken and we will be set free from many, many things. Thank you for your body, Lord Jesus. And we ask now that by your Holy Spirit, as we partake of the bread, it will not just be one aspect, but the fullness of your body, not only in how you, by your stripes we are healed, but how your body was the veil that was torn, that we may enter into the most holy of holies in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And so by your Spirit this morning, we receive the depth, the knowing of the communion reality, not just the knowledge, but the knowing, the participating in the communion, the participating in your death and resurrection, the participation in your incredible glorification, that your name is above every other name and every knee will bow before you, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for this, Lord. If you now eat together, we give you the praise and glory. Amen.